Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Our beloved, we missed you guys on last evening. We're in such a rhythm now, we don't want it to end. And if I had my way, we'd stick around for a while. We're praising God for what he's doing. And again, with no one's permission. Once again, there's a lot on the plate. And I want to say this too. I hope you're not in a hurry. So therefore, let me begin this way. Saints of the living God, there are three kinds of people in God's remnant church. Those who hear truth, enjoy it, and live it, and those who and just enjoy it. They like to be entertained when they come to church. They don't bring a blessing with them. They're looking for one. Then there are those who don't like the truth of God's word, and they don't like hearing it either. You see, it makes a difference in times like these what we do with the truth that we know to be truth. Why, brother preacher? Because Satan isn't and has never played games with our destiny. He wants every one of us to be lost. And he's passionate about that. And unfortunately, many of God's people or profess God's people are not passionate about being saved. Jesus wants to save us and take us home to glory. So my question to all of us, because I'm in the boat with you. Do you want to be saved and go home with Jesus? And if you answered yes to that question, and you're dead serious, my question comes to you now, which is the title of God's message for us this evening, and it is entitled, Will You Be Ready? Would you pray with me? Father, here we are again. Coming because you are our only hope. And I come unworthy but willing. And I ask you once again, put your words in my mouth and bind the enemy. This I pray in Jesus' name. Let everyone say. I'd like for you to take the constitution of God's kingdom, his holy word, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. What book did I say? Matthew chapter 25, we want to take a look at verses 1 to 13. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. The word of God says, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were what, everyone? They were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But when the wise took oil, took their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye after them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Read verse 13 with me. Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Beloved, what we see in this parable is that Jesus told his disciples the story of the 10 virgins. And he illustrated their experience, which parallels the experience of the church just before his second coming. Remember, in prophecy, a woman represents the church in Jeremiah 6:2. You see, the two classes of watchers represent the two classes in the church who profess to be waiting on their Lord. They are called virgins because they profess a pure faith. They profess faithfulness to God. What did I say? The lamps that they have represent the word of God. That's why it says in Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, as we find that to be true in Zechariah 4, 1 to 14. You can read that when you get home. Now let's focus on the lamps for a moment here, though. Again, they represent the word of God. So as professed true followers of God's word, let's investigate his word and see what our full duty is. Let's travel to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What book? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 13 and also 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. The word of God says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Lot going on. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty. The what? The whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work. How much work? Every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Church, here the Bible speaks of our full duty as followers of Christ to fear, which means to reverence God and keep his commandments. You see, the whole Christian's lifestyle is wrapped up in the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? In other words, the whole Bible is summed up in his law, if you dig deep below the surface. And here we read in Matthew chapter 25 a parable that Jesus himself told of the 10 virgins, who represents now two classes of professed Christians in the last days, which is right now. And he says in Matthew chapter 25 in verse 1 that they all went forth to meet the bridegroom, which means they were waiting for his coming. One of the truths found in God's word is the second coming of Christ, and we find that in Revelation 1:7. And here we see that these 10 virgins are represented in Matthew chapter 25 as the church waiting for Christ's soon return. Now, we've just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that the whole duty of man is to reverence God and obey his law. Remember, his law is love. So now the question comes to my mind and might have gotten to yours, which commandment of God's holy law represents preparation for his second coming? Have you ever thought about that? Believe it or not, guess what? It's the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. You say, how so? Stick with me, we're going somewhere. Beloved, many of us do not understand how serious the keeping of the Sabbath is. We don't understand how vital the Sabbath is to being prepared for the second coming of Christ. Hear me now, the Sabbath is an object lesson to the second coming of Christ. How is this? Listen now as the truth unfolds. Travel with me to Exodus chapter 20. What book did I say? You know where I'm going. Exodus chapter 20, looking now at verses 8 through 11. We stick our chest out on this one, but let's see how far it still sticks out at the conclusion of this sermon. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. The Word of God tells us, and it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, how many days? 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." Anybody come living in your house, they need to keep the Sabbath. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested." He did what? "Rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Here again, the Bible says, how many days? 6 days to labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. This means we should be laboring during these 6 days, and it should be all about meeting God on the seventh day. Everything we do during the 6 days should be an anticipation or a building block, if you please, for the day that we meet the Lord. You see, we're watching and we're praying, hopefully, and we're earnestly pleading with God to help us to be ready to meet him on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, when it comes. Why? Because he draws nearer on the Sabbath day. You see, God has asked for a tenth of our increase if we would give it, and one-seventh of our time to be kept holy. He wants us to have a closer and greater relationship and communion with him, full of new experiences on the Sabbath. And this can only happen if we start studying the true spiritual importance of the Sabbath hours. The prophet John the Revelator really grasp the truth and worship in the Spirit of God on the Sabbath day. And that's why I said in Revelation 1:10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." You have many people running around saying some other day is the Lord's day, but the Bible here in Mark 2:27 and 28 says the Lord's day is the Sabbath. Let me hear you say amen. You see, John was in prison on the Isle of Patmos, a rock quarry, if you please. But about midday on Friday, he would put down his sledgehammer. He was breaking up boulders all during the week, you see. But on Friday, he would put down that sledgehammer, and he would head to a little dark cave. And you see, when the Sabbath came in, he was so caught up in the Lord, he was ecstatic. In other words, he started praying to God before the sun set. So by the time the Sabbath rolled in, he had totally shut out everything that was earthly and secular concerns. Shut out all those things from his mind, and all he could think about was heaven. He even forgot that he was in prison, thinking of his relationship with God and the glories of heaven. Church, the Lord is trying to impress upon all of us, as he did John the Revelator, of the importance of a close communion with him. Do you know him? Someone has asked that question before. Do you really know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Not just saying, "I believe, I know of him." But do you have a relationship with God? And the Sabbath is set aside just for us to draw closer to him at the end of every week. You see, he has set a date that takes place at the end of every week, the Sabbath. You see, if you have a corporate job, doesn't matter what kind of job you have, and you want to go and meet your CEO, Who sets the date for that appointment? You know who does it. The CEO. What if you decide to go when you feel like it? You won't be meeting anybody. Now, when it comes to the Sabbath, remember God says in Isaiah 55:8-9, my ways are not your ways. Church, many of us don't understand it, but there's something you can get out of approaching God on the day that he made the appointment that you cannot get on any other day. Now, let me ask the question that many of you may be asking in your minds right now. What is the difference in a day? Come on now. When people ask me this, I can only say one thing, and that is God said it was different. That's it. But it's a good question. How many of you really see something different from Saturday than you do from Sunday, except for the fact that you might have to go to work the next day? If we came together on a Tuesday, what would be the difference? Let me tell all of us this right now. The Sabbath will be no different to you unless you make it different by getting out of it what it was created for. You see, it was created for God to cause all of us to ride on the high places of the earth. That's what he says in Isaiah 58. Great blessings and experiences when you commune personally with God on the Sabbath day. And through the Bible, very few people, but many, rode and experienced this high ride. But many of our minds are not set on really meeting God on the Sabbath day, because during the week, we're not anticipating meeting him at the end of the week with great joy and expectation. You have to buy a plane ticket 2 or 3 weeks way in advance to get any kind of good price. Call the airlines the day before. Most of us won't be taking that trip. That's right. So why is it that we think that we can go through the whole world every single day not thinking about the coming of the Sabbath, but when the Sabbath arrives, we think we can turn it on like a light switch? Maybe not one of us has ever truly kept the Sabbath, except for those who are doing it according to the best of their knowledge. Many of us who've known this truth for a long, long time have just been going through the motions and have not experienced one time riding on a real high place with God in communion with him, where we really know that this day I met with God. I'm not just talking about having a good experience in church. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not just talking about that. Because you were fed in church, Vegalinks, amen, spiritual food and Vegalinks. I'm talking about meeting with God. You see, every single Sabbath, it was Jesus' custom to go to church, as it says in Luke 4:16. I want to do what Jesus did. What about you? He had his close communion with his Father way before he got to church. Many people wait till they get to church to look for him. Beloved, in this parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins, they were waiting on the bridegroom, which represents the coming of Jesus. But this parable tells of 5 virgins being prepared and the other 5 unprepared. And in this parable, we first look at the meaning of the lamps, which they all had. Help me, Holy Ghost. In other words, they all had a Bible, but in this parable, it is revealed now that only half of them had oil, which represented the Holy Spirit. Only half of them had the Holy Ghost. You see, all 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. All had lamps and vessels for oil. For a time, there was seen no difference between them. So with the church that lives just before Christ's second coming. I can't tell who's who. That's us, church. All have a knowledge of the scriptures. Many do. Most have heard the message of Christ's near return, his approach. Many have gotten tired of it, though. I heard that when I was 3 years old. He ain't come yet. God is not restricted by time. He put us in time, and he steps out of time, and we're in it, and we're judged in time. So if 1,000,000 years go by, it was a second to him. But we have to have a relationship with God. But most of us have heard the message of Christ's near approach, and they are expecting, we are expecting his appearing. But in this parable, so it is now, a time of waiting intervenes, and their faith is tried. I'm tired of waiting on him. He's not coming. I'm going to give it up. And when the cry is heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Many are unready. Why, Lord? They have no oil in their vessels, in their lamps, and they are without the Holy Spirit. They are unconverted. Listen, church. Without the Spirit of God, and knowledge of God's word is of no avail. Did you know that? Now, how did this parable with the coming of the Sabbath being unready? One of the problems is we're not tapping into the blessings that comes from keeping the Sabbath as holy as we do the other 9 commandments. Some of us, including myself, go through a whole week sometime and are challenged sometime to steal, but we won't steal. And we're faithful and serious about not stealing, and we don't even want to think about that. That's one of the sins that we have had blotted out, you see. Some of us are challenged to lie. And sometimes we find ourselves in trying places because we don't lie. And we shouldn't lie no matter what. I better throw that in. Amen. You see, we hang on to these commands of God, but when it comes to the commandment that is the blessing, we take it the lightest. Even though we believe that the Sabbath is holy and that we should keep it, many of us do not take it as seriously as we take the other 9 commandments. Many churches repeat the 4th commandment every week as our affirmation of faith. Am I right? And then the church is so used to hearing it until it's not taken seriously in many of the minds and hearts of the professed members. Remember what? And this commandment is the only one that God gave of the 10 that he said we can do. All the other 9, except for the 5th, he starts by saying, thou shalt not. But the Sabbath, he said, do this. Take this 24-hour period that I have designated, and I want this time to be holy, and I want you to have a high spiritual experience in communion with me. Now travel with me to Isaiah 58. What book did I say? Isaiah chapter 58. Let's take a look now at verses 13 and 14. You still with me? Let me hear you say amen. Amen. The word of God says, if thou, remove thou and put your name there. If Michael, turn thy away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own what? Nor finding thine own what? Nor speaking thine own what? Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Does God lie? Then why aren't many of us experiencing this high ride and the blessings? God says to us, beloved, God is saying to us, if thou turn thy foot away from doing your own personal thing. You see, it cannot be done corporately. I need to go there. What do you mean, brother preacher? You can worship corporately, but you can only commune with God heart to heart personally. There's so much to gain if we would just start taking serious closet hour time with our God on the Sabbath. And I just thank God that it is not a corporate thing Why? Because if it was all linked together, you know, we can worship together and keep the Sabbath. But when it comes to that relationship with God, it's a personal thing, you see. Because while you're sitting here, somebody might be thinking about whether or not the Lakers lost while they're listening to me, while somebody is praying and rejoicing in the Lord. There's a difference, y'all. There's so much that we can gain if we would start taking serious the closet hours of the Sabbath. Beloved, we should be so wrapped up in the Lord during the week, preparing for the Sabbath, that when we come to church, we will be filled with so much of His Spirit, we will bring the power of God with us and bring a blessing to others. And if there's no blessings there, we'll bring a blessing. And when people greet us, they will receive a blessing and know it. The pastor can preach an inspirational message for a whole hour, but the only thing most people will remember is the wonderful spirit everybody had. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Inspiration tells us that if we had kept the Sabbath in the way that it should have been kept, there wouldn't be an infidel or atheist on earth. Now, we can go over many things that point to the five foolish virgins being unready, unprepared for the bridegroom's coming. Some of us polish and shine our shoes on the Sabbath. We want to get our hair cut and put the perms in on Friday night. We get everything ironed out and looking good. And we've gotten to the point where we're even cooking major meals on the Sabbath. Now, don't get me wrong. When people are in need and they need help and stuff like that, it's all right to cook. Get the ox out of the ditch. I'm telling you about being prepared when you can be prepared. Amen. And all of this is done on Friday after sunset or Sabbath afternoon. Help us, Lord. God wants us to be ready. And we say to ourselves, well, it's for church. 6 days shalt thou do thy labor. Amen. Do all thy work, says the Lord of God. That's what he says. Listen to this counsel from the pen of the remnant prophet. Amen. Volume 6, page 355, 356. On Friday, let the preparation for the Sabbath be completed. See that all the clothing is in readiness and that all the cooking is done. Let the boots be blackened and the baths be taken. Now, let me qualify that. In those days when this was written, they would have to go out in the woods and chop down some trees and chop up some wood. And they go and then go around and find that big pail that they had to put on top of the burning wood and put water in it to heat up so they can take a bath. That was a lot of work. So the counsel was given to them, you need to do that as early as possible so you don't find yourself out there just working, 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 missing that inspirational time with the Lord. And I like to say, thank you, Jesus, amen, for plumbing. The Sabbath is not to be given to the repairing of garments, as it goes on to say, to the cooking of food or to the pleasure seeking or to any other worldly employment. Before the setting of the sun, let all secular papers be put out of sight. Amen. Turn the jet over. Put it in the drawer. Amen. Turn the cosmopolitan over. Put it in the drawer. Everything you look at, you need to have that remind you of the Lord. Keep your focus and mindset on Jesus throughout those 24 hours. What do you say? And we need to explain our purpose to our children. It goes on to say, and let them share in your preparation to keep the Sabbath according to the commandment. We need to guard the edges of the Sabbath. You see, this is not my opinion. It comes from the pen of inspiration. Amen. Which came from the throne of God. Are you listening? It's possible to do this if we want to. If we make it a rule, we can do it. This is heavy, ain't it? And some of us can't lift it. It's time to get on track, Jack. You see, but that's the petty aspect of it. In the store on Friday night, and the sun is now beginning to set, and you're in that line, and the checker is taking too long, and you're in that line, and you can see the sun getting ready to creep behind that mountain. And you justify in your mind, the Sabbath doesn't begin until it gets real dark. And you go home to try to snap your mind into the fact that it's the Sabbath. And it does not work. You have missed the blessing. Only the mercy of God, listen now, only the mercy of God, if he allows us to live another week, do we get a chance to keep it again. What are you saying? You see, any other sin, what did I say? Any other sin, you can confess and begin not breaking that commandment right then. What you talking about, preacher? But the Sabbath, you need the mercy of a whole nother week before you could keep a whole Sabbath completely. Oh, yes, you can keep the remaining hours of it. Thank God for his grace. The remaining seconds of it. But you cannot keep the whole Sabbath. And as I said before, the Sabbath is a symbol of the coming of the Lord. You see, when the Sabbath comes in, let me tell you, if your mind is not set to meet God, church, eventually when he comes, literally, your mind will not be set to meet God. You see, every week, God is giving us a practice run of his coming. Every week he says, I'm coming on the Sabbath day. And many of us are not doing it, who know better. And we are missing what it is going to take us to push us through as Christians in these last days. We're missing it. Now let me bring this from a personal to a church worship and fellowship level on God's Sabbath. Church, as I said before, Jesus went to church every Sabbath. When? It was his custom. On Sabbath morning, his feet was always pointed in the direction of the church. I'm not saying that there's any magic in church, but I'm saying that the Lord has said something, church. And that is, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. Our church, this text is broken down in the commentaries, and it says we need to come together for encouragement, exhorting one another, especially with the trouble and persecution that the church faces. Bible Commentaries, Volume 7. In studying this out and looking at this, church, I realize this. I realize now why we should have that fellowship and experience. And since God has said it, especially with all the things we as Christians have to deal with, it's time for us to be smart enough and do what he says and go to church and check it out just in case there might be something there just for us. Now, Satan understands this. That's why we can get up all during the week, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6 a.m., fight the cold, fight the heat and the traffic from Monday through Friday and do just fine whether you're by yourself or with 1 to 10 kids getting to where you have to go by 7 a.m. or 9 or just a little after. But on Sabbath morning, the devil puts an extra weight on your foot. Can I get a witness? You come here at Sabbath school, you be by yourself. Deacon been waiting for an hour and a half after he opened the door. And some members complained that 8:30 Sabbath morning for early morning prayer meeting is so early. We ought to have Sabbath school at 10 o'clock. Why? 9:30. Oh, beloved, let me tell you something. We shouldn't only come to church because of who's preaching. Who's singing. Or just on a special day with a big crowd trying to get there on Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas. These are just little side blessings. The main reason we should come is to meet God, because God is here. Can I get a witness? Now let me hit you right where it hurts. And this is in it for me too. If you are comfortable missing church constantly, you're probably going to miss heaven too. If you don't love meeting with the saints down here, when the saints go marching in, you won't enjoy that either. You have to come here because God is here, and he draweth nigh on the Sabbath day. You see, some of us have become cultural Adventists. Most people don't really like keeping God's Sabbath and coming to church, but they feel they have to do it because they heard something about the judgment. You see, the Sabbath is a pain to them. It's like to them, like a man with a migraine headache. He don't want to cut off his head, but it hurts him to keep it. So the question comes, why are you here? Well, I was brought up in the church. That's a cultural Adventist. All the people I know belong there. That's why I go. They say I'm there, but I really don't enjoy it. I return my tithes to this preacher because I heard something about a curse. Cultural Adventists don't really want to be here. When the preacher gets started, we get the nervous jerk of the left arm. Insulting God. The average movie lasts 90 minutes to 3 to 4 hours. Football games, basketball games, 2.5 to 4 hours. And we're sorry when it's over, but when we come to church, after 15 minutes, thinking about where you have to go. Now, I'm not suggesting that our services need to run so long, 3 and 4 and 5 hours, but we have a problem with an average of 2 hours. But turn off that television while you're watching your favorite movie, you're going to deck somebody. Church, I tell you this, I guarantee all of us, the day is fast approaching when we will be glad to stay in church all day long. Look what's happening around us in this world, in the news. And if you think the last few years have been something, you haven't seen nothing yet. Christ is coming sooner than we think. And the question comes to all of us once again, will you be ready? Now let's look again at the parable in Matthew chapter 25. Let's take a look at verses 3 to 8. You still with me? Say amen. Word of God says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Help us. And in verse 3, again, it says that the foolish took their lamps. They took the word of God. Yes, they did. A lot of people carry the word of God with them, but they are estranged to it. Took no oil with them. Had no spirit even to get the understanding of his word, which means that they did not yield to the Spirit of God to operate and control their lives according to the word in which they carried. Christ's Object Lessons 408 puts it this way. The theory of truth unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. One may be familiar with the commands and promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, the character cannot be transformed. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit, men will not be able to distinguish truth from error, and they will fall under the masterful temptations of Satan. Now get this as it goes on. Unless the members of God's church today have a living connection, what did I say? A living connection with the source of all spiritual growth, they will not be ready for the time of reaping. Unless they keep their lamps trimmed and burning, they will fail receiving added grace in the times of special need. You see, church, this class represented by the foolish virgins were not hypocrites. They had a regard for the truth. Yes, they did. They had advocated the truth. They were attracted to those who believed the truth. They said amen at church. But they had not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And in verse 5, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Here, the great controversy puts it this way. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. By the tarrying of the bridegroom is represented by the passing of time when the Lord was expected. The disappointment seeming delayed, they all slumbered and slept. One class in unconcern and abandonment of their faith, and the other class patiently waiting till clearer light should be given. The wise virgins aroused themselves at the message of his approach and responded to the message, and their spiritual discernment was not all gone. They sprang into line. Verse 6 through 9 points out when the bridegroom had come, and now the foolish virgins wish to now borrow some of the wise virgins, or meaning some of their spiritual lifestyle, if you please. Their conversion, have mercy. Great controversy, 395. In the night of trial, the foolish virgins seem to lose to some extent their zeal, their devotion. They got tired of waiting. Many people today are tired of waiting. They're giving up on God, but they don't have that close communion with God every week on the Sabbath. They could care less about the Sabbath, but they do come to church at 12 every week. You see, the half-hearted and the superficial, as it says, could no longer lean on the faith of their brethren. Each must stand or fall for himself. Somebody asks you about this truth, and you scratch your head and you have to run and try to find the pastor. And you've been in the church 10 years. Are you listening? That's a shame. Church, we better know this truth for ourselves. In these last days, the time is here, and we are going to be tested for the truth of God's word. Not just on the Sabbath, but all the principles. Some of us will be thrown in jail for keeping God's commandments. Let me tell you what happened to a young man who was a postal worker, and I was one for 22 years myself. And he was an Adventist, keeping the Sabbath. And he was challenged to work on the Sabbath. And he said, I'm not going to work on the Sabbath. That was my testimony at one time, and I didn't. But they decided to challenge him. You're not going to work on the Sabbath? We're going to see to it you're going to work on the Sabbath. They fired him. Went to the Religious Liberty Department, and they came in and they wrote letters and everything, and they decided to have a court case. He got fired from his job. They decided to have a court case. And he went against it to fight. And when he got to court, the government, to his surprise, had summoned a stack of spirit of prophecy books, counsels on diets and foods, the Great Controversy, and many others, asking him all sorts of questions about his belief and whether or not he could share his reason from the scriptures and the scriptures alone. Not from some outline, just the scriptures. They even summoned the records from the church treasury and matched it against his income. And when it came to the discussion of tithe and offering, they wanted to prove that he was an imposter. They didn't want to pay him all that back pay for those 2 years and give him his money back and his job back, you see, with the Sabbath off. We're going to prove him wrong. And you don't want to know why they wanted to prove him wrong? Because there's others who was on the job who claimed to be Seventh-day Adventist Christians keeping the Sabbath that would come to work. But he was going to stand. Come on now. How would you stand if every dime that you made that is registered and compared to the church books in the treasury, how would you stand? How many of us will stand before the courts and will not be found guilty of impersonating the truth? Being an imposter. If the courts had a blockbuster representative in there who keep all of the computer records of videos rented, and the representative came to testify against you, would you be innocent? Would you be innocent of not renting all types of foul videos? They have the records. You know how I know? Because even when you go to the supermarket, oh, Mr. Johnson, you saved $25. Your name is on that receipt. That's significant of what's coming, y'all. How many of us in this sanctuary, how many of us will match up And this is before we get to the point of being asked to explain what we believe and the truth about the Sabbath. How would we stack up? How many of us in this sanctuary, under the sound of my voice, can explain God's truth about the Sabbath using your Bible and nothing else? No Bible study outlines. How many of us can do that? If you can't, we should seriously stop wasting time in other things and being devoted to the charge that God has given us and preparing for the approaching crisis. Many people are spending all kind of time on the computer, all in these things that they're looking at. And they're all on Facebook and communicating with people almost 24/7, all on Facebook. And God is trying to tell all of us, it's time for us to get our face in this book. That's what we need to do. If you can't explain why you do what you do, we should seriously stop now wasting time and other things and being devoted to the charge that God has given us of preparing for the approaching crises. Are you listening? Beloved, the Sabbath is the day that is going to eventually cost anyone who stands fervently for it their life. How can the Sabbath mean so much to us not then if we're not truly keeping it now? You're not going to stand there to see persecution come upon you and your family then if it really doesn't mean anything to you now. Oh, you guys going to behead my daughter? Oh, okay, I'll go with you. I won't continue following this in the Bible. That's what's going to happen if you're not taking it seriously now. You think you are standing on solid ground if you're not following God's truth all the way. Guess what? When the pressure comes, the real person will stand up. Beloved, if you only knew how many professed Sabbath keepers are ready to accept the false day of worship right now and don't even know it. Don't know it? You see, if we don't come to the conclusion that God has blessed us with the knowledge of just dealing with the importance of the Sabbath, if we don't understand that this day is different, you know what? You might as well go to a church that worship on a false Sabbath. Might as well do it. Because if you're not truly keeping it, all you're doing is hindering people who are searching for God's truth. If they just knew about it, they'll jump in. All right, beloved, it's time for me to move on. But this is, I want to say, by the way, this young man won his case. Come on and say amen. Now, let me tell you what's really going on as I wrap this thing up. You see, sometimes you have to raise your sights higher to see what's going on. Once again, the Sabbath is about preparing 6 days for the coming of the Sabbath. It's a symbol of preparing to meet God. He has given us the Sabbath as an object lesson in preparing for his second coming. How so? We can truly now measure in our preparation for the Sabbath and see whether or not we would have been prepared and ready to meet him if he literally had come. Now, let me give you the evidence. It's called the Great Week of Time. Keep in mind, a day in prophecy equals 1 year. Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6. Church, though God is eternal, he deals with man within the parameters of time, as I said earlier. The biblical basis for understanding this great week of time is to study from creation, the sabbatical cycle, the judgment, the sanctuary, and finally, the millennium. When you study this cycle, you will discover, like many other Bible students have, that the weekly cycle, as we know it, with the Sabbath being the closing day of the week, is a miniature model and prophecy of this world's history. Biblical chronology and prophecy represents a time period approximately 7,000 years from the creation of earth, to the second coming of Christ, then a 1,000 years millennium. Now check this out. Christ has been laboring 6,000 years of earth's history for our salvation. You see, God uses the weekly cycle of 7 days, 6 for man and 1 for God. again, which is a motto to indicate the period assigned to the probation and judgment of mankind, and that's 6,000 years. This leaves now the millennium, the 1,000 years that this earth would lie desolate in darkness while Satan is bound in a chain of circumstances found in Revelation 21 and 2. The book, Bible Readings of the Home, tells us that the millennium is a great Sabbath of rest for both the earth and for God's people. You see, for 6,000 years, the earth and its inhabitants will have been groaning under the curse of sin. During that 1,000-year period, which is called the millennium, the great Sabbath of rest for God's people, we will be in heaven during that time, looking at the records of those who were lost. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 6:2. Did you know you will be judging angels? The fallen angels. And after that 1,000-year period is over, that will complete the great week of time. Now, this track of study cannot be used to determine the exact day and hour of our Lord's coming. But it clearly reveals, as it says in Matthew 24, 33 and Mark 13, 39, that it's even at the door. We are close, and the question comes to us again tonight. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? The weekly cycle, 6 days, then the Sabbath, is given to man as a miniature model to prepare for his second coming. God has given the curse of sin and its running time, 6,000 years, and then the 7,000 year, the millennium. We will be in heaven in judgment of why people was lost, and the fallen angels as well, which completes the great week of time. So we're getting a miniature run of Christ's coming every week by being prepared for the Sabbath. 6 days for man, 6,000 years for sin. The seventh day for God. The 7,000th year for God. Are you with me? Come on and say amen. The 1,000 year period is the great week of time. One last focus on the five foolish virgins. In Matthew 25, 13, the Bible here shows that the five unwise virgins went off to try and get ready for the bridegroom when it was too late. And they were shut out of the marriage, which represents salvation in God's eternal kingdom. Beloved, if we don't understand that it is a spiritual difference on the Sabbath day of the week, if we don't truly start preparing 6 days to meet the Lord on the seventh day, which he has given us 6 days to do so, we're going to find ourselves outside of the mercy of God when he comes. Many of us prepare for holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, and with more enthusiasm than we do for the Sabbath of the Lord. It's something to think about. The Sabbath that only those who take special personal time to indulge themselves in will receive that special communion with God, because 6 days they prepared. How did you measure up today? Yes, this is the Sabbath. Were you ready? So let's prepare early and be ready. What do you say? So when the Sabbath comes in, we're ready. And Isaiah 66, 23, the Bible tells us that we will be keeping the Sabbath throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And again, what we do here will be lived out in eternity. Amen? Let's do that. God says all flesh is going to come before me. Now, many people ask the question with strong aggravation, why do you Seventh-day Adventists always talk about the Sabbath? Now the answer has been given with a loud cry in Revelation chapter 14, 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You see, the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. And that's how God identifies his people. That's what he's talking about. We must talk about it. That's why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, 1 and 2, yes, he concluded the week of creation and then he set in place the holy Sabbath. And that's why it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, 12 and 20, he says, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them that I am their God and they are my people. That's how God identifies with us. Beloved, we are now dealing with the judgment of us all. Let us truly remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Because now we are living in the Friday night of Earth's history. In the book Jeremiah 23, God paints a beautiful picture, you see. And he's directing the attention of his own people. And he ends up talking about that promised Messiah. He said, a king shall reign and he shall project beyond. And another scripture, and he says, the new heavens, the new earth, sin and sinners are all gone now. He wiped away all their tears. Now families are reunited. And the dead have been raised and death itself has died. And there's no more perplexities, no more pain, no more trouble, no more poverty. Thank you, Jesus. And Christ will set up this kingdom in his 7,000 year period with us there. And it will be lasting forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a beautiful thought. Lord, you mean you're going to give us that? Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. But will you be ready? She was a good saint. Loved the Lord so much. Prayed for everybody. Did so much for everybody. Oh, yes. She was good. Good saint. Loved the Lord. And one day she got sick. Laying on her bed in the hospital. She knew it was almost time. Elderly saint. So she called for the pastor. Call for the pastor and the elders to come and anoint her. And when the pastor and the elders got there, they prayed for her. They anointed her. And then after they prayed, the pastor asked the question, my dear, is there anything that we can do for you? We realize your circumstances and time is short. Is there anything that we can do? She says, you know what, Pastor? Yes. There's two things you can do for me. He says, what is it, my dear? When they prepare my body for my casket, and when they dress me up and they put me in there, I want you to make sure that they put a Bible in one hand and a fork in the other hand. And the pastor said, okay, but I have one question. I know how much you love the Lord. I know how much you love his word. You were always studying it, his word. You was always teaching his word to the young people. They loved you. They're outside in the hallway crying now. A few wanted to come. My question is, I understand about the Bible, but what's the deal with the fork? And she says, Pastor, you know, we have such a loving church. And we always have fellowship dinners. And I love that part. I love the fellowship with the saints. I love it. And when we have those fellowship dinners, and you know, and they pass out all that wonderful food and you know, it was a potluck. And I always prayed at potlucks because you don't know how lucky you're going to get with some of the cooking. But Pastor, after we would eat the main meal and they would come by and take our plates, they would say, hold on to your fork because dessert is coming. And you know how I love some of those pastries those sisters would cook. And I would hold on to my fork. So, Pastor, the reason I want to have them to put that fork in one of my hands, because I love the Lord's Sabbath so much, I couldn't wait till it came in. I was praying and singing 2 hours before it came in. And I would call people on the phone and wish them happy Sabbath. Oh, how I love the Sabbath. And knowing that my Jesus
always went to church on the Sabbath. And I always thought to myself, what it would be like to keep my first Sabbath with Jesus in heaven. So, Pastor, when they put me in that casket, And they put me in there. Make sure that Bible is in one hand and that fork in the other hand, because that fork represents the dessert that I'm going to keep the Sabbath in heaven. Dessert is coming. Our church dessert is coming. And whether or not you want it, whether or not you want that fork to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good, but you won't taste and see it unless you're tasting it now. It's time for us to take the Sabbath seriously. We are in the Friday night of Earth's history. 6,000 years is almost up. We're on borrowed time. And it all has to do with our relationship with God. Some people say, I wish it was the Sabbath every day. And somebody said, but you got to work. One day, we won't have to work. No more work. No more high cost of low living. Everything is free, and we will reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. Don't you want that experience? I know I want that experience. I plan to be ready when he comes. So next week, let's do it right this time. Amen. Let's be ready for when the Sabbath come in, because if we make that a habit, consistent habit, guess what? You'll be ready when he literally comes. Come on and say amen. Amen. Now, if you want prayer to keep your promise, stand to your feet. Pray for your faithfulness, because the devil's going to try you. Father, here we are again. Lord, we're here on your Sabbath day because you have said, this is your day of rest. This is your day you have set aside for us to closely commune with you. The whole world is wandering after another false Sabbath. And it's not a surprise, because everything that you have, the devil has placed a counterfeit right next to it. And the whole world is wandering after the beast power. We're going to deal with that tomorrow, Lord. So I ask, oh God, now for all of us, that you will pour out your spirit once again upon this lighthouse, upon each and every one of us, that we can renew our walk with you in Sabbath reform, being ready and prepared for when you shall come. Forgive us for breaking your Sabbath. And all we're doing is ourselves harm, because it's a time for our relationship. We're breaking our relationship with you, our relationship time. That's what it is. It's not supposed to be something that, oh, I can't wait till it's over. And that's when we're spending time together closer. So, Lord, help us to start anew with you. And help us, Lord, to rightly represent this truth and by the life we live and love we give. And bless our families here tonight. You know our needs. You know our unspoken requests. Thank you in advance for answering them. Now, as we leave this place, give us traveling mercies. This I pray in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.